Hello and welcome to the MS for Mama podcast. I'm your host, Abby Halverstadt, happy wife, mama to 10, Bible-believing Christian. And on today's show, I have got a wonderful guest for you that I know that you're going to be so encouraged by. But I want to start off this episode by telling you about our brand new podcast sponsor. Voteberg Music Academy is an at-home music program that you can learn by stopping and starting at your own leisure, watching videos. You can even share the videos between siblings. And I'll give you a code here at the end of this so that you can get 20% off every month that you're enrolled. One of the best things is that you rarely pay more than $30 a month, no matter how many siblings you have using the same program. And you have a bunch of different instruments to choose from. They have lessons for piano, they have lessons for guitar, mandolin, ukulele, and violin. So you have a wide array of things that you can learn. You get weekly lessons and practice printables, 24-hour access to your teacher, live student onboarding calls, and there's even a vault to go back and see more lessons if you want to progress faster. If this is something you think your students would love, you can use the code M is for Mama, M-I-S-F-O-R-M-A-M-A for 20% off each month that you're enrolled at voteburgmusicacademy.com. I will put all of that info in the show notes. All right, guys, I have such a fun guest for you today. Lindsay Mimnaugh from Treehouse Schoolhouse is on the podcast with us today. Hey, Lindsay.
Hey, guys, this is going to be so much fun.
Yes, it will. And I'm just going to tell you in full disclosure that this is second verse, same as the first for me and Lindsay, because I pulled a major no-brainer on our last recording session and I didn't record anything. We had the best chat. We just talked it up and really hit a lot of things that I think you guys are going to be blessed by. So we're going to try and hit those things again. But I got to the end and pressed record instead of stop record. And my brain went, wait, what just happened?
You have 10 children. It's fine. There's grace because we're all moms and we carry a lot. So no big deal.
Yes. And that was her response. And so here we are again. And it's the first time for you guys, but for us, it's again, and it is recording. I will have you know. All right, Lindsay, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, friends. So I'm from North Carolina. I've got 4 kids. My youngest is 3. My oldest is 10. And we are a homeschooling entrepreneur, kind of crazy outdoor family. I write homeschool curriculum in my margins. And so Abby and I have a lot in common. So we're excited today to talk about some of those things that we have in common and just kind of share some encouragement with you guys if maybe you feel like you're in the same boat as us.
Yeah. So I think margins is a great place to jump off because what I see is a lot of all or nothing mindsets in the way that people respond on social media. I could never, how could you possibly, you're super mom. And all those kind of make my skin crawl a little bit because I think I am so not worthy of this response because I know I'm over here not pressing record sometimes.
Right.
Because my margins have either gotten too full, my brain is tired, or I just got distracted or whatever. So, and I know, I'm sure you get some of those same responses. How do you feel like you protect your margins or how do you feel like you create those? And 2, how do you find yourself responding when people are kind of overawed by what you're able to accomplish in a day?
I think that social media is a beautiful gift to the world, but I also think that it's only one piece of the puzzle. And so I often try to use my platform to share the real truth of what's happening behind the scenes because, I mean, I only have 4 children. You have more than double the children of me. But, you know, I carry a business. We just built a house. My husband and I both own our own businesses and I'm homeschooling. I'm writing curriculum. And so it is a lot, but I have, number one, I have a lot of help. And so I'm always trying to tell people that I'm not over here. Every single thing you see coming out of my company is not just me. I have a whole team of people. My husband is able to be involved with our homeschooling. We also have a part-time nanny and I'm not afraid to talk about her and what a gift she is to us. Yeah. And that really before we had a part-time nanny and I was just full-time homeschooling. I wasn't working and I was able to carry that without help. But when the Lord opened up these doors for me to start writing curriculum and blogging and all of these things, I had to make a choice. And it was either that I was going to be dividing myself so thin between these two worlds and I would not be able to show up for my kids in the way I want, or I can bring help in and now they're getting a gift from having time with her where I can separate and have boundaries. And so that's the other thing is just really clear time blocking and boundaries. And when you try to mix multiple roles and tasks, and sometimes you have to. I had to at the beginning of my business, sure. But it was short term. And I knew that because long term, I would not have lasted and I wouldn't have been able to show up in these areas in the way I want to. And so for me, I have blocks where I am mom and I am not also trying to multitask and answer emails and do customer service and post on social media. And then I have blocks where I'm like, I can show up as Lindsay, the creator, and this is who I am right now. Without those blocks and without those boundaries. And it's very, very hard when you have a social media business, as you know.
Yeah.
Because you just want to do it all the time. And that's kind of how it's set up. But without those blocks, I feel like my brain gets like mush and I'm not able to really show up in the way I want to in each area of my life. So I try to tell people the whole truth about what's really going on, that I don't have a great day every day, that my homeschool is often hanging on by a thread, that, you know, a lot of the beauty that you see is truly what I want for our homeschool, but it's not an everyday occurrence.
Sure.
You know, sometimes we're trying to bake together and I got kids breaking eggs on the floor and mom loses her cool and all of that's real. All the things that y'all feel, we're feeling those things too. And we have those moments as well. So I think just trying to be transparent about that and yeah, creating systems and margins the best we can. But at the end of the day, we're human and we all need grace.
Amen. Absolutely. And I get to cheat because I know a little bit about you because we already had a conversation last week, but you sound so kind of balanced and honestly very orderly, but the way that you described yourself last week, it had me asking all these questions because you kind of described yourself as a barefoot hippie, creative type.
Yeah.
And yet here you are talking about margins and boundaries and blocking. And that sounds like a type A, very organized sort. So kind of give me a rundown of your background and A, how you started writing curriculum, because I love that story. And B, how you got from barefoot hippie Lindsay to I'm going to have to put some boundaries around my life or I'm going to drown, Lindsay.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically the bottom line is that the reason I have all these systems in place is because I need them to, in order to reach goals, in order to do the things that my idealist self wants to do, I have to actually have steps to get there. And there have been people in my life that have helped me see that. And now I see them all as opportunities to grow and ways for me to actually reach goals. But my background is that I grew up in a Christian home. My grandfather was a church planter. And so as a tween, early teenager, we were in a really small church and my options from my parents were A, sit in the service, which I didn't want to do because I was bored, or B, start a kids ministry. And so my mom said, I'll give you the tools to do that. And so I started throughout the week as like a 12, 13 year old, I would go search in the Bible and figure out ways to have lessons. And I would write material lists. And I started basically writing curriculum for a small group of kids in my grandfather's church. And my mom would empower me by taking me to the store and helping me get the materials and help me look up passages in the Bible and creating these lessons. So I'm just doing this thinking like I'm getting out of sitting in the Sunday morning church. But in reality, God was growing something in me because as I was studying the word, I was learning more for my own self because you teach it, you know it. Mm-hmm. And I began to disciple these children, you know, on Sunday mornings. And then as I became a teenager, I was spending time with some of these kids outside of church and discipling them and like really falling in love with mentorship. And I was growing in my own faith in this journey. And so I decided after high school to go to ministry school for kids ministry. I wanted to go be either a Christian school teacher or be in kids ministry. So I went to Bible college and started taking these classes. And after 2 years, I got offered an internship at a church to take over their whole kids ministry. It was a massive church. They were having a fallout with some of their people on staff and wanted me to just like come in as a young 20 something with all my energy, all my ideas, and just take over. And it was so intimidating and scary, but I had this passion as a young Christian to do that. And so I went in and I basically, yeah, I was the barefoot, crazy energy, you know, kids ministry person on stage doing all the dance moves and like creating all these fun things. But at the same time, I learned like there needs to be some order, there needs to be some system. So I feel like it was this survival, like I'm not going to make it in the world if I don't rein this in and figure out like how to make systems for my own weaknesses in order to grow. So I worked at this church for a few years. And then after that, I wanted to do something else. I ended up on the mission field writing curriculum for our ministry that I went with YWAM, and I was writing curriculum for some of our teams and working in churches and villages in Southeast Asia.
YWAM is very close to where I am. I don't know if you realize that, but YWAM is like an hour from me.
Which YWAM? Oh, really?
Like the one in Texas is like, okay. The original one is like an hour from my house, which is really cool.
Oh, awesome. Have you been there? Yeah. Have you been there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I've been out there before. Yeah.
Awesome. So I was in Hawaii. So their other main base is in Kona. I ended up going to Hawaii and Maui. It was really awesome. But people are like, oh, you were a missionary. You went to Hawaii. How nice. How convenient. But I trained in Hawaii, but then I was in Southeast Asia, staying in villages, no AC, all the whole thing. It was a really great experience for me. But through that, I just started writing curriculum in for ministry. And after that, I got hired as a nanny. I'm going to try to quickly tell you my story, but I got hired as a nanny. And after being there a little while, they asked if I would homeschool their children. The child was having some struggles at school and they just said, I think it'd be best if he was homeschooled. Is that something you'd want to do? So I basically had a front row seat in home education as a homeschool teacher before I was a parent. Mm. And I was able to adapt this child's needs that he had. You know, I was able to bring him home and we would do school in the treehouse. That's where Treehouse Schoolhouse came from. I would write all these lesson plans. I would take curriculum and I would turn it into something that was more enjoyable for him based on things he was passionate about, allowing him to move, you know, helping him with the struggles he had. And I just absolutely fell in love with home education and ministry. Both. They were like my passions. So when I became a mom after working there a few years, I became a mom. And when my kids were preschool age, I basically started homeschooling them and started writing curriculum for the kids. So it's just basically been this thing that God has woven into my life since I was young, like 20 something years ago, I'm writing curriculum. And now I'm seeing it come full circle where I'm writing it for my own children. And after starting that process, I really felt like the Lord said, you have something to share with the world. And so I started Treehouse Schoolhouse and it's been baby steps and really a wild ride. But now we have a full team and we have a warehouse and I write all kinds of curriculum, always getting inspired with new ideas. And yeah, it's my passion and I absolutely love it.
That's amazing. I love that your story in some ways is similar to mine and that I've always written in some capacity. It was either stories when I was younger, essays. I started college really early and I was an English major. So I was writing, you know, 15, 20 page essays when I was 15, 16 years old. And just that discipline that you learn to craft words well and craft sentences well and look up sources and got a degree in that early and then just never stopped writing. Wrote a novel in my 20s, started a blog 13 years ago. And I mean, I call myself a pragmatist. And it's not that the dreams aren't there. It's just kind of, I always assume they're not going to actually happen because, you know, dreams don't become reality unless you work for them. Somewhat. I don't mean that in the total bootstrappy, like the Lord can't work miracles because he absolutely does. But that consistency, that kind of parable of the talent of being willing to take what he's given us and do a little bit, even though all 13 of those years that I blogged, I had multiple children. I had 3 when I started blogging. I have 10 now. So, and then eventually the Lord brought to fruition a dream that I'd had since I was 7 years old. The only quote unquote career dream that has stuck around. I said, I wanted to be an author when I was 7. I said, I wanted to be an author when I was 20, when I was 28, when I was 32. And the Lord finally brought that along at 37. And I don't know that I ever really truly believed that that was going to be a reality. It just felt like I was just plugging along in the little margins and the spaces that he had provided for me. But you look back and you see, wow, you were preparing me all along for this. And just by being consistent to keep doing the thing you were calling me to do, even if it never became a business with a warehouse. Even if it never became a multiple book contract, that faithfulness matters. And it's just, it transforms us as much as it does anything else. But then also sometimes we get the chance to offer that to the world and it's kind of humbling and way cool.
I know. So, I'm like getting teary thinking about just how he strategically, and I can't share too many details, but like strategically, even like some things with that student that I had were specifically setting me up for my own child or specifically setting me up for seeing the world in a different way so that I could offer resources to parents that have similar struggles or just long for a family connection or don't know how to explain the gospel to your children. Because I worked with so many children who were coming to our church, had never heard the gospel before. one of the churches I was working in, you know, they were like inner city. And so they were just kids coming where their parents weren't faith-filled parents. The parents weren't taking them. So I was able to explain the gospel in a very like simple way. And then now I'm sharing with parents for the first time that they've never opened the Bible with their families. And I'm saying, hey, I know how to do this. Like this doesn't intimidate me because the Lord set me up for such a time as this. And there's just so much fulfillment in the process of saying yes to the little things with him, mm-hmm. That I wasn't really looking for the bigger thing. It was kind of like, I mean, my husband even told me way back then, like, one day you're going to publish curriculum that's going to be all over the world. And I kind of scoffed at him, like, I'm just wanting to be a homeschool mom. Like, I don't know, but sometimes other people see things in us as well. And it's just an amazing journey to walk with the Lord.
I love hearing that about your husband. My first book, Emma's for Mama, is dedicated to my husband. And I think it says something like, because you always believed I could. And oh my gosh, now I'm going to get teary. It's so cool to have the support and encouragement of a man who's leading well, but also supporting you and saying, you know, this work that the Lord is doing through you matters. And so there may be someone out there listening and thinking, either I don't have that support, and that's hard, but it's definitely something to pray for. Or, well, but I don't want to write books or publish curriculum or not. But honestly, we mean it when we say the quote unquote little things that are having that effect on your family. You know, that Mother Teresa quote, if you want to make the world a better place, go home and love your family is essentially what it says. You know, it starts with those bedrock principles of teaching God's word to our children and, you know, exemplifying his goodness to them each and every day. So you describe yourself as a dreamer. You didn't today, but you did last time. So I'm just going to say that for you because you sound a lot more like me when you're like, I wasn't really, but you have these things that you are working for now. And yet you have these margins and you have these systems in place. I like to call them rhythms. I think you use the same word.
Yeah.
And one of them is getting up early. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Because dreamers don't tend to get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm a dreamer, but I also am a realist to the fact that I see that there are all these things that I want in my life or in my home, or I want for my children, or I want in my relationships or whatever. I'm a visionary, but I also realize that those things don't just show up. Like those things actually, you have to take steps. And so I think it's just been an area of maturity over the years that it doesn't come naturally to me. Sure. But when I say, oh, I would love it if my kids, you know, were more responsible with cleaning up after themselves or whatever the thing is. Well, I don't just stop with this dream. Like I've learned that I have to actually work backwards and go, what do I need to do every day to get to that place? And then, you know, what are the baby steps that I need to take to get there? And I don't know if maybe it's like how God wired me for like curriculum writing, where I'm like, I want parents to have this home where they have this family connection or they're exploring nature together. But you can't just like give them theory. Like you need to give them steps. You need to actually tell them, this is how you do it. And that is kind of one of the ways I'm gifted is like, I actually hold people's hands and saying like, this is more than theory. Like I could actually never write a book like you. Like I was offered to write a book and I'm like, can I just write curriculum? Cause that's my gifting, like how to actually do the thing. And
which
I think
so important, that knowing your gifting and being content in that and pursuing that wholeheartedly as unto the Lord, instead of being like, ooh, she did that, let me go try that. Even though you're not really being called to it. That's important.
Oh gosh, it's like the best yes thing, like really knowing where you're called and then giving that your all, because it's so easy to get, you know, stretched thin in all these areas, especially as a visionary, because I'm like, oh, I could do that. I could lead that. I just took my kids to Awana at this church the other night that I don't even know these people. They were invited to go. I sat in the back to check it out. And the whole time I'm going in as a kids ministry director in the past, I'm like, I could do that better. I feel like if we tweaked that, that would be so much more engaging. Like, no, Lindsay, boundaries. Stay in your lane. You're not going into this church and changing this whole ministry. But that's like, that's my struggle, is that I want to go in and make things better. I want to change things. I have ideas, but I have to stay in my lane. But anyway, yeah, I think it's just a working backwards. So when I have vision for my home or for my homeschool or for my relationship with the Lord or for anything in life, it's like you can have a dream, but then you need to actually count the cost.
Yep.
Decide if you're actually going to do it, and then be real with yourself about what that's actually going to look like and what the disciplines are that's going to take you to get there.
Yes.
And so that might open up our conversation about our house build, because, you know, we both went through that, and we just recently moved into a house that my husband built. It took 5 years of disappointments and struggles and moving into an RV and then living in a rental house and selling all of our belongings. And it was just like the most wild roller coaster ride. And my husband has learned now when I have a great idea and I come to him with one of my great ideas, he's like, let's talk about the actual nitty gritty of what this looks like. And then let's talk about the cost. And do you want to pay that price? And then what steps will it take? What does it look like on a day-to-day basis to actually move towards that? And so I think that's a discipline that I have to set into place in my life in order to build a business, in order to build a house, in order to have a successful homeschool, whatever it is. You have to have these daily steps that are really working backwards from what you want to see in your life.
And I was hoping you would mention that concept of working backwards. I think it's a really good visual image, like a really practical, like, okay, not how do I get started, but what's the end goal? Mm-hmm. And then what would I like, what's 5 feet away from that? What's 1 year away from that? Like, where would I need to be, Lord willing? I mean, I feel like I have to emphasize that holding our hands open and saying like, Lord, you seem to be calling me to do this. I'm going to do the next right thing. Please lead me in the path everlasting as I walk forward with these little faltering steps. But with the understanding, like you said, of counting the costs. And another thing I think you said that's really good is you didn't make an excuse for doing the hard work based on personality. Okay, so I'm a dreamer. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm a visionary. I hear so much in this world of using personality tests or personality types as an excuse to not take the next right step that the Lord is leading you to, as a way of explaining away being stuck sometimes, or even sometimes in more extreme cases as a way of excusing sin.
Like, oh, absolutely.
We can say, I'm a 9 on the Enneagram. I don't even know the Enneagram. So I like fun. Or maybe that's a 7. I don't know. I like adventure and fun. So of course I am going to run off and leave a project in the middle. Well,
no,
you're right. Don't we all, at least to some extent, sort of kind of like the fun, like sizzle of the beginning where it's exciting and then the hard work comes in and we kind of want to drop it and walk away. Maybe not every person. So the other personalities that are not like that are like, no, I enjoy the whole process. I will plod along. And I'm like, I applaud you for being willing to do that. But I think we have to be careful not to say, I'm just not good at that. Therefore, it stunts our growth so, so much.
Oh yeah. I mean, specifically that, and I was going to bring that up. My tendency is I'm a starter, I'm a visionary, but I have a hard time with the details and I have a hard time with the finishing. And even recently I said that I didn't just say I had a hard time. I actually spoke out like I'm a starter, not a finisher. And my husband was like, don't put that over yourself.
Yeah.
You might have a harder time with that, but what that actually makes you want to do is lean into the hard and like push through that and say, and it's silly, small things, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's been targeting this for me. So I'll start the dishes, for example, and I'll like leave like 3. Like there's something in me that wants to like not finish a job completely where I'm just like bored or I'm just over it. And I'm like, okay, moving on to the next thing I need to start. Even if it's cleaning, even if it's like, I just can't bring, it's like really difficult for me to bring a project to completion. Mm. And I feel like in order to like fight against that, I have to specifically target that character flaw instead of excusing it and allowing it to be something that's a crutch or just like you said, like to say like, oh, it's just who I am. It's like, no, if I want to get better, then I need to actually work on that thing. And I think that's true with our kids too. Like I look at some of my kids and, you know, as they get older, you start seeing like, what are the things that are just more difficult for them in their personalities? And one kid, it's going to vary from another kid. But rather than saying like, well, I'm just going to allow this child to have meltdowns about this every single time. Like it's harder for kid A than kid B to transition, or it's harder for kid A when he fails in math, struggles in math than kid B. But you're not doing them any good by excusing that and just saying like, well, you just need to, you know, like it's fine because that's just hard for you. It's okay. But it's also not helpful to them to be like, well, you just need to get over it. You need to come in the middle and realize like they have something that's difficult. And it is actually our job as a parent to come alongside them and train them on how to handle the struggles and say, this is harder for you, buddy, but I can give you tools. Let's talk together about what some tools are that would help you when you get to this position in your life. Because when they're an adult, it might still be a struggle, but they can't just say, well, that's just who I am. Because you're enabling that forever.
You are. You absolutely are. And we see a lot of, I can't because that's just who I am. And a lot of blame shifting and a lot of victim mentality in our current culture. I'm sure that's been true for all of time, but I feel like we're maybe a little more indulgent of that in our current society. Yeah. And ultimately, exactly what you just said, it's not doing them any favors. It's certainly not doing society any favors, but you're not actually gifting your children with a good thing by giving them the easy way out on things like that. There's grace, as always, for us and for them. But there's also that grit of saying, we can do hard things through Christ who gives us strength. Mm-hmm. And then modeling that for them, just like we're talking about. So we've both built houses, and it sounds like that when you say build house, you mean build house. Like your husband got in there and got it built, right?
Yep. Still doing it. Yeah. We moved in a month ago, but we moved in at the bare minimum that we could get our inspection. We were like, please just let us move in. We want to finish the project here. We don't want to be paying rent and, you know, this whole thing. So yeah, we're still trucking along, with the project, but he got his contractor's license and he did hire out some of it, but he oversaw the whole thing. And then anything that he could YouTube and figure out how to do, the man did himself. So it's been a wild ride.
Yeah. So, I was realizing as we were going to talk about this, I'm like, I can't go into both of our builds. I need to do my own podcast on that. So it gave me a podcast idea. I immediately shot it to my assistant, was like, put this on the podcast list. But same, Sean has a dad who grew up or who had a construction company and helped Sean with a lot of things. But there are so many things that you can literally go, cause people are like, where did you get the skills? How in the world would you ever start? And there's just so much willingness to learn that is built in there that it's like, I don't know how, but surely I could find enough resources. You know, we just have so much information or too much information at our fingertips. And that was the same with Sean. If he didn't know how to plumb a particular thing, he might have the basics and he would go figure out the nitty gritties and redo it if it, you know, messed up or whatever. So we've done two builds. One was only a 9-month process, which is insane. But we did everything. It was like a rectangular box and we did everything like on top, like grouped all our plumbing, did everything as efficiently as possible. And we did pretty much everything for that. And then including sheetrock and plumbing and electrical and all the things. And then the second time it was 2-year build, much more involved, lots more angles and interesting roof lines and stuff. But Sean and his dad were the ones that knocked out just pretty much all of it. So it's crazy to have gone through that twice. And you don't meet too many people who are willing to do that level of research. But I feel like it pays off.
I do. I mean, it was really hard at the end, mostly because my husband was working so much in order to get us in. And we were living in a difficult, we had to really have a cheap rental house in order to do all of this. And so if we would have had a more comfortable living situation, I could have been more patient, but it was a really difficult situation. At the same time, I was growing this business, which was sort of a happy accident. And having small children and trying to homeschool and like, you know, it's just a lot of the things at once. But the actual process of seeing the house go up and coming and visiting him as he's doing it and then being able to design everything. I mean, I was the one, you know, saying, this is where I want everything, every doorway, every window. It's like, it's so overwhelming, but it's also, it's like such a dream really to just have a blank canvas and say, what are the goals I have in our home? It's the same thing as working backwards. It's like, what do I want my home life to look like? What do I want for my kids? What kind of spaces do I want when I host people? And then working backwards and saying, okay, well then that means we need smaller bedrooms so we can have more square footage in the main living areas. We want to be an outdoors family. So how can we, you know, have as much porch as possible? You know, all of these things where it's just really fun to be able to dream that and then work backwards and make it happen. But it's definitely one of those things that my advice would be count the cost because it's so unknown, especially if you're going as an owner build, unless your husband's done this a million times, like mine, this was the first time. So he's learning all of this as he goes. We made mistakes, we lost money, we lost time, you know, but it was one of those dreams that we had and we're like, well, let's do it now when our kids can enjoy it. You know, let's do it. Even though it's the craziest time of our life, let's just go ahead and do it. So that we can live here a really long time and our kids can grow up here. So I think it's worth it, but I don't know. I'm still like, we're still in the middle of construction in boxes. So maybe ask me in a month, I'd probably say for sure.
I can completely relate. We moved in with not one single blade of grass within like 100, 200 feet on any side of the house. So much East Texas red dirt that I've never seen so much dirt in my life. It was in our teeth and our hair and our toenail. Yeah. Oh, it was so bad. So bad.
We have Carolina clay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So similar.
Even just the sheer dirtiness like gets to you in the boxes and all those things. So I can totally relate. I hear a lot of people that say, you know, like, why would you do this to yourself? Because it is so much work and it's so exhausting. And I think the part that you mentioned about your kids being able to enjoy it, I really love that our kids got to see that work go into it, the way we functioned as a team. Mm-hmm. You know, we divided the tasks and I sourced things and I designed things and I tracked things down. I wasn't doing a lot of hammering of nails because he's a lot faster and better at that than I am. And I'm over here homeschooling. Like, you're not trying to do this kind of equal. I mean, this is a lesson in life and in marriage. You're not over here trying to double up on the same task and then leaving another one to languish, you know, instead you're seeing where the strengths and the weaknesses are and dividing and conquering. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really important for our kids to see us doing that. And did we always perfectly get along? Did we always perfectly agree? No. Was it stressful sometimes? Yes. But our kids also need to see us working through conflict and stress and relying on the Lord and then ultimately coming back to each other. And even if we have to apologize, saying like, I still choose you and I still choose this. And I'm glad that we get to do this together, even though it's really hard. And like you said, it was almost harder moving in once we were there and still doing so many projects because it was just so dirty. And we were literally moving kids. Oh goodness. Like I remember the first couple of weeks, there were kids in the living room. We had lots of bedrooms, but they just weren't to the point where people could sleep in them yet. And so it was just, you know, so many eyeballs on me at 10 o'clock at night when I'm like maxed out and I'm like, okay, we have to get a bedroom because I'm going to lose my mind. I need these children not to be looking at me at late at night, you know? So yeah, totally, totally can relate.
Yeah.
So if you had to give readers, we've talked a lot about, you know, discipline and making choices to get yourself from point A to point B, asking the Lord what he wants you to do next. If you had to give the listeners, kind of your top three rhythms that you would suggest that they adopt, maybe not specific ones that are what you do, but just things that you feel like could help anybody's day to go better. What would you say? Yeah. Do you think?
I think that if you can get to the point that you wake up before your children, I know that that's not always feasible, especially if you have, you know, small kids and you're up all night and stuff. There's grace in those periods for sure. But as soon as you can, to start trying a rhythm to get up before them and just sort of like think through your day. Like not only in my mornings, I'm usually up 5:30 or 6 and my kids are up around like 7. Not only am I, you know, in the Word and having silence and eating and having coffee before I'm feeding all the people and doing all the things. But I also just try to look over my day, like, what are my goals today? And, you know, asking the Lord to, one of the things I've been doing lately is asking him which kid or who in my family do I need to specifically love extra today? Like, what is something I need to do? And it's silly, but like in my planner, I actually have like a section that says love somebody. And some, and I'll just sit with the Lord and be like, which kid and how, or outside of my home too, is there a friend I need to reach out to? Is there a neighbor I need to, you know, bring some cookies over to? Just show me, Lord, like, who do I need to love today in a different way? Because we can just get going and forget to slow down. And a lot of times it's this specific kid and play a game with them or jump on the trampoline with them, just like a quick thing to be intentional. So that would be one. For our family, we also try to have as many meals as we can together. We're running in different directions. But if we can get back together at least for dinner and we do high-low around the table and talk about our day and just sort of share. And in our family, we do high-low buffalo. I don't know if you've heard that.
Oh, I do that too. Yeah, we do that too.
So buffalo is just the random thing. So you got a kid standing on the chair and telling a joke or somebody singing a song or it's anything you want to talk about. But what it really does is open up, you know, what did somebody struggle with today that you didn't even notice? Yeah. And then you can kind of speak to that. And then what was something exciting? You just kind of get to know your kids' hearts. And then the random's just fun, but also kind of sometimes another thing will come out that you're like, oh, I didn't know that was in there. So we do that. I'm trying to think of a third one, probably just that connection time with my husband before bed. It's easy to like both go our different, you know, at night, it's like we can get caught up scrolling because we try to have less screen time during the day when we're with our kids. So it's easy to just sort of like go down that hole. But we try to keep our phones away from our bedroom. And so at least the last 30 minutes we can like talk, connect, and just go to bed kind of with a more clear mind. So yeah. Those are some things that have helped me, even just with like anxiety and just that go, 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 my mind not stopping. Yeah. It's just having these moments in your day that you're kind of like pausing, remembering what you're doing with your life. What are the goals that you have? And just coming back to connection.
I love that. Those are such great examples of realistic, doable things that I think could translate for a lot of people, even if they don't look exactly the same. Tell us about your newest curriculum offering that's coming out.
Okay. So right now the whole Treehouse Schoolhouse community is in the middle of doing an expectant Easter. So it's a 3-week curriculum that leads you up to Easter. But I'm in the middle of writing the second volume of our Bible curriculum. So after I put out an Easter and Christmas curriculum, I had so many families saying, I want to do something every day with my kids that's like a family devotional meets homeschooling. And so that's kind of, you know, like I mentioned before, my two passions. And so I wrote a family Bible curriculum. It's called Rooted. And it's based out of the scripture that says, you know, your roots by the water, and then you'll flourish in season, out of season, bear fruit. And so the first volume came out last year, and it's all about your identity. It's all about really getting kids roots deep into who they are in Christ and why they even do the things we do as Christians. Why do they want to read the word? Like, it's really getting to the why and getting to the heart of our faith. And then the second volume that I'm currently in the middle of writing is all about the fruit that's produced in a life that's rooted in their identity. And so we're talking about them loving others, and we're talking about character traits, and we're talking about their mission on this earth as believers, but we really have to get to the heart first. And so that's kind of my heart, is not to just tell kids how to behave, but to teach them, you know, to really get to their hearts that they love the Lord. They want to please him. They want to honor him. They're inspired by this idea that they have a mission on this earth. And so it's a really beautiful curriculum where you go through poetry and art that really help you see other Christians in the world through generations and how they've responded to the word of God. And then you're studying scripture, you have a discussion and prayer, and then there's like a connection piece to language arts or history. Each day you do like a little activity that sort of rounds it out to be more of an educational activity.
I love that. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you, where they can find your curriculum, socials, all of that?
Sure. So on Instagram, I'm treehouse_schoolhouse. And then treehouseschoolhouse.com is where my blog is and my shop.
Awesome. Lindsay, thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing your encouragement and wisdom. We really appreciate you.
Thanks, Abby. This was super fun.
It was. Y'all have a great day.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the MS for Mama podcast, I would be so honored if you would subscribe and follow along, maybe share with friends or even leave a review. And if you want more content on motherhood and biblical responses to cultural issues, be sure to follow along on Instagram at m.is.4.mama.